and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going back to 2 Samuel chapter number 19. 2 Samuel chapter number 19, and beginning reading with verse number 31. The Bible says, "And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold thy servant Himham. Let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Himham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee, and whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Himham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel." All right. This is an interesting story. First off, I've heard this boy's name pronounced Chimham. And maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. But the CH in Hebrew is that K-ish sound that's kind of made with the back of the throat. And so that's the way I pronounced it, a hard H sound, a K sound, a K sound almost. And that is the sound that that particular letter makes in Hebrew, and so that's the sound that I used. All right. Let's look at the situation here, and let's look at its implications and what's going on here. First off, this likely happens after the situation with Mephibosheth. The Mephibosheth situation took a little bit of time to unfold, and because it was directly related to the situation with Shimei, it's dealt with first. The Bible does this quite often. The Bible does not necessarily give you everything in a strict time sequence order. What the Bible does do is gives you related things together and tells you the story. And then it'll rewind sometimes. Sometimes it tells you, sometimes it doesn't. This is one of those times that it doesn't really tell you directly. And back at the Jordan River, or meanwhile, back at the Jordan, that sort of sort of storytelling technique, the Bible does not do that. The Bible expects you to follow the story and to understand that the sequence being told is not necessarily the sequence that it happened. That's one of the fundamental tenets of interpreting the Word of God, is look for actual clues. See, Mephibosheth met up with David at Jerusalem. David was already there. Mephibosheth came down, but he had to work his way back around, and he ended up back at Jerusalem with the king. And that's because of the company of Shimei and Ziba who were there. And Shimei was there with 1,000 men. They kind of crowded the king. But before he meets up with Mephibosheth, but after in the story, we see this story of this aged man, Barzillai. Now, Barzillai is an amazing name. I'm not 100% sure I'm pronouncing it correctly. Maybe it's just Barzillai. L-A-I can be pronounced as just a long A. I pronounce the I just because that's the way I've heard it, and that's the way it looks like to me it should be pronounced. I'm not going to say that's the only way to pronounce it or that that's the correct way. It's just the way I pronounce it. And so you feel free to pronounce it differently. Really, seriously, feel free to pronounce it differently. It's not going to hurt my feelings at all. Anyway, this man's name means made of iron or strong. Made of iron. And for him to be 80 years old. 80, that's 80. 80 years old. You know, there's a famous speech, Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, starts off 87 years ago. That's 87 years. And, you know, that's a common statement. Score means 20. 80. Now let's talk about what Barzillai had seen in his time. All right. 80 years before this event, there was a completely different person in charge in Israel. A completely different person. So let's do the math. If David is roughly 58 years old, and this is roughly the 28th year of David's reign, let's go back 28 years first. 28 years would be the end of Saul's reign, and Barzillai would have been 80 minus 28, that is 52 years old. He was 52. He was almost David's age when David began to reign. It's been a while. And so Barzillai definitely remembers the reign of Saul at age 52. He remembers all of that. In fact, Saul reigned for 40 years. If Barzillai is 52 years old at the end of Saul's reign, that means he's 12 years old at the beginning. Barzillai remembers the time of Samuel and Samuel's sons. He remembers that time, which that time would have been, you know, that was before Saul. He would have seen all that time and the situation with the Philistines and with other enemies of Israel. He saw all those things as a kid. Now, the point of view of a kid is different from the point of view of an adult. I found this out to be true. I look back at things when I was a teenager and things that happened when I was a young man, and they hit differently now than they did then. They do. They're completely differently processed by my brain now at the age I am. And that's not a bad thing. That's not at all a bad thing. As you get older, your experience colors your interpretation of events, even events when you were younger. Young people, you're going to go through the same thing. It's common. It's not something new. You are going through the same process that my generation did, that the generation before mine did, that the generation before that did. There's really nothing new under the sun. I realize technology seems new, but it's just new ways of doing the same old thing. It is. It's just new ways of doing the same old thing. And I work with technology for a living. That's what I do for a living, is technology. And it's just newer ways of getting the same information quicker, maybe more accurately, maybe not. There's some real issues in today's world that are different from issues that have been in the past, but it's still over the same old thing. Misinformation, disinformation. You know what the difference is? Misinformation is mistaken. Disinformation is intentional. It's intentionally misleading someone. That's the difference. That's the same thing's true with belief. Unbelief means you just don't believe. Disbelief means you consciously refuse to believe. They're different. They're substantially different. It's not slightly anything. They're substantially different. And, you know, modern technology makes things quicker, but it doesn't make things better or, for that matter, fundamentally different. And again, I work with technology for a living. That's what I do for a living, is technology. And the technology, information technology, internet technologies, those things are my bread and butter. And I'm telling you, there's not really anything new under the sun. People want to think it's new. People like the new. But it's just a faster way of doing the same old thing, which is conversing, sharing information with people. You can share information with more people, and you can share it quicker with modern technology. But fundamentally, the same rules of sharing information apply. The same rules apply. And you may be talking to a computer program these days. Artificial intelligence, they call it. Well, I got news for you. AI has been around since the end of the 1960s. Look up the AI program called ELIZA. The technology isn't new. It's not. It's just the technical underpinnings are powerful enough to make it feel new. But it's not new. And it's not something you can rely upon for serious information either. Can you get quick answers? Yeah, but you got to check your answers and make sure they're accurate. AI can be used to point you in the correct direction. And AI can do some really strange and unusual things. But still nothing really fundamentally new. People have been doing this sort of thing for years. People are professionally paid to write stories that have falsehoods in them, to trick people and to confuse people and to deceive people. We call it propaganda. Propaganda, that is writings that is intended to influence someone's point of view. Those things are common. And, you know, the older I get, the more I realize that what I thought was so new when I was younger really wasn't. And younger generations, you're going to go through the same process. Mark my words, you're going to go through the same process. Barzillai had seen it. He had seen the coming and going of Saul, and now he had seen David. And he had seen David's popularity go away. See, we got to remember, by the time of Absalom's revolt, David was no longer popular. Absalom was. But Barzillai, the man of iron, he stuck with God's anointed. He stuck with David. And then he went and he helped him. He gave him things. He ministered to him while he was at Mahanaim. And David wants to reward him. Barzillai, though, he's not having any of it. He says, I'm too old for this. I'm too old for that. I know I'm going to die soon, and when I die, I want to be buried next to my folks. I want to be buried in the family graveyard, in the family plot. I want to hang around where I'm at. You know, this would be like somebody in Balsam Grove or Rosman or Brevard in Transylvania County being asked by the President of the United States, why don't you come live with me in the White House and I'll take care of you? And you saying, you know, I think I'd rather stay home. I think I'd rather stay home. You know, that sounds all fine and good, he says, but in Barzillai's case, he said, the food doesn't tempt me. I can't taste it. Hearing them young men and women singing, I can't hear them sing. Now, does that mean he's deaf, or does that mean something different? You know, there are diseases that can cause you to no longer be able to hear pitch. Parkinson's is one of those. Parkinson's disease affects the cerebellum of the mind, and the cerebellum of the mind is used for the central timing of the mind, and that central timing is what allows people to not just make music, but to enjoy listening to music. The same areas of the brain are stimulated by making music as by listening to music. It takes some of the same types of techniques in the mind to enjoy listening as it does to enjoy making it. The timing of it, the pitch. Your ears are capable of distinguishing pitch, but certain diseases take away that sense. It all sounds the same. It doesn't sound musical anymore. You can understand people's words. You can understand what people are saying because that's handled with a different section of the mind. But as far as understanding music, that is one of the cruelest things that Parkinson's does to people. It takes away the ability to enjoy music, both listening to it and making it. Because it takes away the timing, it takes away the sense of pitch. And some people have difficulty with pitch. And so I think Barzilai is saying, I can't distinguish one pitch to the next. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. And that goes for enjoying it listening too. It's just words and some noise behind it. He's old. He's not tempted by the things that young people would be tempted by. He's not tempted by the riches. He's a rich man already. He's not tempted by the food because his taste is not good. He's not tempted by the men and women that would give music and would make enjoyable things for the dinner experience there at the palace of David. He's not into any of that. He says, I'm getting ready to die, and I want to be buried by my family. And furthermore, I've done just a little things. What is it worth this kind of reward? Well, David wanted to reward him for his loyalty. What Barzilai is saying is, why should I be rewarded for that which is my duty? It's kind of like what Jesus says about the unfaithful and unprofitable servants there in the Gospels. I don't remember right offhand the scriptural reference. You can look it up. But the unprofitable servants, where we are unprofitable because we have done that which was our duty to do. We should not expect reward for doing our duty. Our duty. What is required of us. We have done that which was required of us. We're not worthy of reward. We've done the bare minimum. You know, and that's the way the world wants it. That's the way the world does things. Doing the bare minimum and not going above and beyond the call of duty, not going past what they absolutely have to do. You'll see this in workplaces quite frequently. I still remember one time I worked in a retail store in Atlanta, Georgia while I was in college. I worked at Kmart, and I was in Kmart, and I wanted to get the job done, and so I stepped on the gas, figuratively speaking, and really started hitting it hard. And one of the people working there says, "Who are you trying to impress?" "I'm not trying to impress anybody. I just want to get it done." "Well, slow down. You're making everybody else look bad." That's the way of the world, isn't it? Isn't that the way of the world? For sure, and for sure, that's the way of the world. Barzilai says, why should I be rewarded for that which was my duty to do, which is being loyal to the anointed king of Israel? And so Barzilai says, I'll go across with you a little ways, and I want to return home. But if you want to give a reward to somebody, behold, thy servant Chimham. Now, Chimham means longing or pining. And so this boy, we're not told much of anything about him. We're told a little bit later about his habitation, that he was in Bethlehem. I believe that's in Jeremiah that we're told that, about his habitation was in Bethlehem, near in the city of David. So he ended up living there. And maybe he was Barzilai's son. Maybe he was Barzillai's grandson or even great-grandson or nephew. We're not told directly here. Now, I encourage you to study this. I encourage you to look it up and see what David has to say a little bit later about this. We will come back to it when we get there in the story. I'm not going to skip ahead and talk about it at this point. But David wanted to reward Barzillai for his loyalty. And Barzillai said, why? Why should I be rewarded for that which was my duty? And furthermore, I can't taste anything. I can't enjoy the music. I don't get joy in all these things. And furthermore, I just want to stay home. I want to go back to my house. And when I die, I want to be buried next to my father and my mother. But if you want to reward somebody, reward this fellow. And, you know, to find somebody willing to do that and to say, reward him instead of me. Barzillai was loyal, but he took and imputed his loyalty and the reward of his loyalty onto Chimham. And Chimham did not earn this that we're told. He was there. He was with Barzillai. And Barzillai says, look, take him. Impute my reward to him. Now that word impute means to put that on his account. And this is the type of Christ where Christ did what was needed to be done, but then he looks at us and says, behold thy servant, insert name here, behold thy servant, give him the reward. Give him the reward. You know, whenever we do something for Christ, like, you know, what I'm doing right now, being on the radio, Christ is the one who deserves the reward. Christ is the one who gives me utterance. Christ is the one who made it possible for me to do what I'm doing. Christ is the one. It's all him. It's all about Jesus. But when it comes to the judgment bar, and I use the term judgment, you know, that's biblical. Some people want to call it the Bema Seat. Okay, that's fine. I understand that's what the Greek says, but you know, in the English it says judgment. That's a good old-fashioned word. That's what I'm going to use. When before the judgment bar I stand, you know, we're going to be judged for what we've done in the flesh, those of us who are saved. We're going to be judged for how good a stewards of Christ's grace we've been. When we stand there, we'll cast our rewards at his feet and say, they're all yours. You're worthy. We're not. But he's going to say, come and enjoy with me your rewards. Come and enjoy. And he's going to impute his reward to us because he's the one who deserves it, not us. That's what Barzillai is doing here for Chimham, is imputing his reward to him. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. You can correspond with me by emailing to broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.